This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand.
Second down and 10. Sanchez is back to throw. He is going to be hit and sacked. And a fumble on the play. Patriots recover. The game is over.
The Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Snap to Brady in the shotgun. Looks, fires left wide open at the 30, 35, 40. Midfield to the 40. It is down the sideline and in for a touchdown to Patriot running back Chambery.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Play action fake by Sanchez. Back to throw, gets rid of it. It's up. Oh, what a collision on Sean Green. We got labeled by who else? Pow! Brandon Spikes, and Sean Green is not getting up after this.
Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome to the Patriots postgame show presented by Xbox One, the official console of the NFL. I'm Mark Bertrand, and I'll be with you for the next couple of hours here on Patriots.com. Patriots 10-4 after a loss that, again, came down to the final minutes in this one today for the Patriots, but the Dolphins end up coming out on top. 24-20 is your final in South Florida. Dolphins with the win move to 8-6 on the year, 4-3 at Sun Life Stadium. The Patriots 10-4, as I had mentioned, and 3-4, now a losing record on the road for the Patriots. Plenty to digest in this game. We'll do it with your calls. The phone number, 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. Want to get your thoughts on this game throughout the show. Also, send your thoughts in on email, webradio@patriots.com. That's the email address, webradio@patriots.com. You can also send me a tweet if you'd like, at @Mark_Bertrand. That's @MARC_Bertrand on Twitter. Send your tweets my way as well during this show. Patriots come up losers down in Miami today in a game in the AFC East that was important for a number of reasons. One, they could have clinched the division, so that chance is missed today. And for the Patriots, we had talked about it in the pregame with Denver losing to San Diego on Thursday night. There was an opportunity, and the door was open for the Patriots to try and capture the number one seed. That now looks a lot less likely after the Patriots lose today as well in this week number 15 of the NFL season. So the Patriots with a loss today, there's a lot to talk about in this game, and let's just start it right away. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand.
This game in Miami ended today with a pick by Tom Brady at the end of the game. Brady finishes 34-55 for 364 yards, two touchdowns, a rating of 85.7. And I would say that Tom Brady I'd put on the good list, even with the pick at the end of the game. I thought Tom Brady made a lot of big throws in this game, a lot of throws that put the team in a position on that final drive to maybe win it again. I thought we were looking at yet another game in which the Patriots were going to drive the field and win the game. And Tom Brady did have a pick at the end. But on the day, I thought Tom Brady was pretty good. The guys he was throwing to were excellent. Julian Edelman, 13 catches for 139 yards today. He had 13 catches on 19 targets. Danny Amendola, 10 catches on 14 targets. Amendola with 131 yards receiving in this game today. Edelman with a touchdown in the game. The other touchdown that was thrown by Brady on the receiving end of it, Michael Manawanui, who had a ridiculous catch. Almost as if he had super glue for hands, a one-handed grab in the corner of the end zone. It was a beautiful catch for the Who Man. That was his one catch of the day. It was really the Edelman and Amendola show for the Patriots as they really fill the void that has now been left on this team with not only Rob Gronkowski being done for the year and the first week of not having Gronk, but also losing Kenbrell Tompkins and Aaron Dobson today. Those guys were out as well. Josh Boyce, four catches today for 42 yards. He was okay, seven targets. But Edelman and Amendola were terrific in the receiving game. They are definitely on that good list today. And I'd even put the Who Man on there, too, for that red zone catch that he had in this game. So I'm putting them on the good list as well. The Patriots' pass rush in this game, is getting on the good list today, as they were able to get to Ryan Tannehill in this game. Although Tannehill was efficient, 25 of 37, 312 yards, three touchdowns, no picks, a rating of 120.6. Tannehill had a good day. The Patriots were able to pressure him at times, and they were able to get some sacks on him, which is something we discussed a little bit in the pregame, and I would put that in the positive list as well. As far as the running game for the Patriots went, just to switch back to the offense for a minute, LeGarrette Blount had the bulk of the carries, 11 of the 22 carries on the day for the Patriots, 11 carries, 47 yards, average 4.3 yards a carry, his longest of the day being 11. Steven Ridley finishes with 8 carries for 34 yards. We did not see Brandon Bolden in this game. We did see Shane Vereen carry the ball twice, and James Devlin even had a carry in there as well. I would put the running game on the, well, I mean, 96 yards. You don't want to say it's bad, but it's just, it didn't feel like the Patriots ran the ball as much as maybe they should have today. I thought they had a few more opportunities to run the ball, and they didn't. But that is not a major part of what happened today. Got to go to the bad list. And on the top of the bad list today, pains me to do it because he has been so good, as Steven Gostkowski. Gostkowski missing a 48-yarder early on. That was the first time in 21 attempts that he had missed one from inside of 50. And then what I think is one of the bigger plays of this game was kicking the football out of bounds on his final kickoff of the day. Kicking it out of bounds in the fourth quarter after Julian Edelman had a 24-yard touchdown grab from Tom Brady. That put the Patriots up 20-17 with just over 4 minutes to play. Gostkowski kicks it off, and he kicked it out of bounds. Gave the Dolphins the football at the 40-yard line. They only had to go 60 yards. They did it on 9 plays with 2:52, and they were able to take the lead and take the lead for good. Kicking that football out of bounds is a big part of this game. As I was watching the game with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo, I said, oh, I hope he didn't just John Casey that. And if you're a Patriots fan, you know what I'm referring to. Kicking the football out of bounds late in the game, giving the other team an opportunity. The John Casey case in the Super Bowl, that benefited the Patriots, and this time around it benefited the Miami Dolphins. They capitalized on that mistake. They drive 60 yards, they score a touchdown, and it wins them the game. On the whole, this game for the Patriots, very disappointing. And also on the bad list in terms of disappointments, the defense does not look very good. They don't at this point. It seemed as if all day long, when the Patriots really needed to put an end to a drive and make a stop, it just seems like they didn't get the stops that they were needing during the course of this game. Red zone for the Patriots offensively was bad, 1 of 4 on the day, and I think that's one of the other major, I guess, themes to this game, was not being able to score and get touchdowns when the Patriots got into the red zone. So those are some of the takeaways for me just off the top. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number for you. 855-PATS-500. Open phone lines ready to talk to you about this game and get your thoughts on this. Losing the opportunity for that one seed is certainly disappointing. And it doesn't get easier here for the Patriots over the course of the last couple of weeks of the season, because now they have to go on the road for a second straight week and do it against the Baltimore Ravens. And if you were picking a game in here that would be tougher of the two, you would think the second week of the back-to-back, being against the Ravens, not against the Dolphins, this kind of changes things for the Patriots here in the final weeks. Very disappointing loss for the Patriots today. So Steven Gostkowski on the bad list. The Patriots red zone offense on the bad list. Some of the good things, of course, both Amendola and Julian Edelman, who were both very good today. Just looking at some of the numbers here, you look at the third downs. Dolphins were 4 of 11 on third down. 4 of 11, which you look at and you say is a good percentage for the Patriots defense, but I just think that when you look at this game, you look at the overall picture of the defense, they were okay. They were not great. And there's room for improvement on that side of the football. That's how I feel about where they're at right now. And the biggest thing being, you know, giving up 378 yards and making Ryan Tannehill look as good as he looked today, I just don't believe that Ryan Tannehill is what his numbers say he is for today's game. 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. Bill Belichick, after the game, hitting the podium in Miami, talking about his team, which is now 10-4 on the year. Certainly, he probably believes there's some mistakes that were made out on the field, and here's what he had to say.
All right, well, you know, tough, hard-fought game. Just Indiana made a few more plays than we did, and you know, came down to the wire like he usually does with the Dolphins. They're a good football team. They played well, and they just played a little better than we did today.
Coach, what did you see down there on the final drive when Brady was bringing the team down the field?
We made some plays. We just didn't quite make enough. Close, but not, just not enough.
Early in the first half, your opening drive, you were able to, I know one of your goals was starting off the game fast. You were able to go the distance and field, although it ended up in the field goal. At least you started the game. Well, scoring points right out of the gate.
Right. I mean, we try to do that every week. I always try to start well. Sometimes we have, sometimes we have, but that's always a goal.
What do you say to this football team now? Obviously, he's left in the regular season. Baltimore's next. Just go back in the locker room, regroup, and get ready for the next one.
That's it. Yeah, one at a time. Yeah. Got Baltimore next. Have a good week. Ready to play Baltimore.
We're here with Patriots head coach Bill Belichick in a post-game press conference. Patriots end up losing by a score 24-20 to the Miami Dolphins. Coach, how was what is the feeling of this football team right now? And I know you just got finished talking to this team. Just the feeling inside the locker room and your feelings. And what did you say to them after the game?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, it's a disappointing game. You know. Close, very competitive. We had chances, and we just weren't able to make enough plays in any of the three phases that we needed to make to win. We made some, but it just wasn't enough.
The final play, we're ready to hit the end zone. Did you actually see what happened on that play? And obviously, the defender stepped right in front.
It looked like he fell off the inside receiver. I mean, you know, we had to throw for the end zone. So. Uh-huh. Tom's, you know, taking a shot at the end zone.
Feel good about your chances there, scoring a touchdown to take the lead and have the ball to your defense there with a few minutes to go in there for the game.
Did we what? What's the question?
I'm sorry. You had to feel good about your chances there at the end after retaking the lead and then giving the ball back, putting the ball in the hands of your defense there to stop
it. You know, chance to make play on 4th and 6, and we couldn't make it. Just came up a little bit short on that one.
Your kicker missed the field goal, and then the out of bounds kick near the end there was kind of a big factor in the game.
As I said, we just didn't make enough plays in any of the three phases of the game to win. Could have used one or two more plays in each phase of the game.
Given the outcome of the last 3 weeks, no loss of confidence that you could pull this one out too at the end?
I don't think the last 3 weeks have anything to do with this game.
You all come from behind.
Not against the Dolphins.
Were you impressed with Brian, the way he was able to lead his team in the fourth quarter?
I thought both teams played hard. A lot of good plays made by both teams.
Coach, what happened up on the Dolphins were able to score at the end of the game? You had a linebacker covering the receiver there and didn't turn his head around. Can you explain what happened on the last play where Dolphins were able to get
I think we'll have to go look at it on film. I mean, it looked like Big Pen ran an inside route and then wheeled, you know, returned back out. Good throw, good catch.
Any other questions, guys?
Just a chance to win a division today comes through your hands and
how's that feel going forward to next week?
We'll be ready to go next week.
Are you pleased with the way the defense was able to get to the 10-0 on a number of occasions?
I mean, we just came up short in every area. So, just, no, I mean, nothing was really good enough. I mean, there was some good things, but nothing was really good enough. So, we just got to do a better job all the way around, offense, defense, special teams, coaching, playing, blocking, tackling, throwing, catching, everything. We just got to do a better job. I think any of it was bad, but it just wasn't good enough. Or they were a little bit better, however you want to look at it.
You still feel like the top seed is still up for 2 games to go, Coach?
I don't really know or care anything about that. Just try to win the game that we're playing that week. This week it's Baltimore, so that's all we're concerned about. I don't really care about the rest of it. There's nothing we can do about it.
Any questions?
Did the timeouts they called at the end affect your strategy? Now we're getting more of a chance to think about what you're doing.
Well, anytime there's a timeout, it gives both teams an opportunity to talk about the situation. So, I'm sure they took them because they wanted to see what formation we're in or see what the look was or get the right call or whatever it was. And when time's out, then that gives us an opportunity to talk about what we want to do.
There's Patriots head coach Bill Belichick after the very disappointing loss for the Patriots against the Dolphins today, 24-20. And he obviously sounds disappointed, as I'm sure many players on the Patriots do, or all of them are feeling disappointed right now at 10-4 and losing a tough game. Patriots taking the lead with just over 4 minutes to play. Miami getting the ball back and driving, and the Patriots making a bit of their own to have the last-minute heroics. Talking about the defense and going back to the Patriots defense today, I think the play that sticks out and the play that I was alluding to just a couple of minutes ago in terms of not having the big play when they needed it. First of all, the turnovers have been non-existent now for the Patriots. And after they had that lengthy streak of being a defense forcing turnovers in the NFL, it seems to have really kind of slowed down for them. They're not creating those turnovers, which is a huge part of their game in terms of being a team that takes advantages of situations and creates their own breaks. Patriots haven't been able to do that as of late, but the one play today in terms of not being able to step up and make the big play when they needed it the most, which I said just a few minutes ago, was the 4th and 5 play on the Dolphins' last drive. 4th and 5 from their own 45-yard line. And on that play, it looked as if maybe on the 4th down, maybe they were going to try to draw the Patriots offsides because there were still somewhere in the range of 3 minutes to go right around that point. Was it to draw them off and get a little bit closer to the first down marker? Because I think they still would have been a little bit short. It may have been 4th and 5.5. They would have been a little bit short. Would it have been to draw them off? Or were they actually going to go for it? And they went ahead and went for it. And at that time, I thought, is this really what they want to do? I ended up being completely wrong about this. But I thought, 3 minutes to go. Maybe you would kick away in that situation and try and force the Patriots 3-0. But they're probably in the back of their mind thinking they had just been carved up on a Tom Brady touchdown drive that had only taken 2 minutes and 36 seconds prior to that drive, the Dolphins drive. So they have that. Joe Philbin thinking about that in his mind. He's got to go for it, 4th and 5. He goes for it with a short pass, a screenplay to Charles Clay. It was his only catch of the day. And I think he finished with only that one catch. He didn't catch another one. That was it for him. He actually went off the field, I think, with some sort of injury. Charles Clay, with that, for 6 yards, picks it up. And the Patriots unable to make a stop there on that 4th down play. And that for the Dolphins play of the game. Now, before you tell me, and I know I'm going to hear it because, I know it happened. I know that Logan Ryan was held on the play. He absolutely was held on the play, no doubt in my mind. But I'm willing to give a break there, considering the drive before the Dolphins drive, going back to the Patriots when Brady carved him up, 6 plays, 73 yards. The play in which Julian Edelman scored a touchdown on, that was the first and 10. It was a 24-yard touchdown. Marcus Cannon had a little bit of a hold of his own. So that didn't get called, and what goes around comes around. So I'm not willing to let the Patriots defense off the hook on that play. I'm not even sure that Logan Ryan would have been able to make a tackle on that play. So I'm not going to use that and complain about the officiating on that particular play. Patriots couldn't make a stop there on that fourth down, and I think that was a big part of why they lost the game. Not being able to make that stop on fourth down, and Steven Gostkowski kicking the ball out of bounds. The Patriots, in the final minutes of the game, in the fourth quarter, they made some mistakes, and the Dolphins used that to their advantage, and they capitalized. Can't take anything away from the Dolphins. I'll say this as we're just going over the good things and some of the bad things from this game. And again, I encourage you to check in with your own at 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Send your emails, webradio at patriots.com and 855-PATS-500. Some of the good things I thought early on in this game, the Patriots got out to a 10-0 lead. That was something that's been a welcome change from what the Patriots have done over the last month. In terms of getting behind early, they got out to a 10-0 lead in this game, which they had built up early in the second quarter, and I thought that was a positive for the Patriots in this game. 855-PATS-500, open lines for you right now if you want to jump on board. It's the Patriots postgame show presented by Xbox One, the official console of the NFL. Want to get to some of your emails. Let's start with Rocco in Ireland. He writes, "Hello, Mark. I made the same point last week when we got lucky, but why do we start so slowly? It's becoming more and more frustrating to watch how good we can be in the last quarter, and if we would just be more consistent, we would win more games, and more importantly, we would win them with ease." Well, Rocco, I'm going to disagree with you on in terms of the start today, because they did put up 10 points and took a 10-0 lead. What I will agree with you on is the inability to get the ball in the end zone once in the red zone. And on that first drive today, the Patriots come away with 3 instead of a touchdown, and I found that to be disappointing for them. To get the ball, drive down the field. They had taken over after a touchback at the 20-yard line. And, excuse me, even that was not a touchback on that drive. I just pulled up the game chart. That was from their own 13 they started that drive, and they made it all the way down to the Miami 4. And that's when you had some incomplete passes. Two incomplete passes on second and third down. One was to Amendola. One was to Josh Boyce. And with two incompletions, and they end up with a 22-yard field goal from Gostkowski. That was good. That, to me, was disappointing. You need to come away with a touchdown there after a drive like that. It was a solid drive, more than 7 minutes, going from their own 13, and did not come away with a touchdown there. I think that's a big disappointment for them early. 1 of 4, the Patriots in the red zone today. They needed to do a better job of getting in the end zone when they got in the red zone, because they moved the football in this game. They did. You can't come away with Tom Brady throwing for 364 and Edelman with 139 yards receiving and Amendola with 131. They were moving the ball. They even ran close to 100 yards on the ground, even though it was divvied up between Blunt and Ridley and even Vereen. You've got to get in the end zone there. And right away I thought, I hope that doesn't come back to bite them. Now, obviously, missing field goals, the 48-yard miss for Gostkowski, that's something that we were not expecting either, because he's been pretty good from inside the 50. By the way, that kick was really close. I'm going to go back and watch that one. When I first watched it, as I'm sure all of you did, I thought, oh, that's no good. From the view behind the stands, you think, oh, it's no good. You watch it on the replay and you thought, that was a lot closer than I thought it was. And maybe it's just the angle. I have to take another look at that one. Might just be the angle. 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to Antoine in New Jersey. Hey, Antoine.
Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing?
Doing well.
I'm just very frustrated because this seems like it's injuries that's that's devastating the team, and that feels though that we wouldn't be in the predicament that we was today or even last week if it wasn't for injuries. And even with the tight end position, I like the touchdown. I like that. But injuries just piling up, and it's making it harder for us to win games or even starting off slow or, you know, anything like that. Or even the running game, you know, even with Shea Marine, or I don't know what our plans are in terms of working back really into the lineup or anything like that.
Well, they got him back in there today, and Antoine, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. We were making a little side bet here on the show before the game. Andy Hart saying, you know, Ridley today, 20 carries, and I said, no way. He ended up with 8 today, and it was still Blunt with the majority of the carries for the Patriots in this game. But on the whole, the injuries, I can understand. I think everybody who is a Patriots fan is frustrated because you start thinking about what would this team be if they were completely healthy. But at this point, you got to kind of put it behind you and move on. They're not coming back. The guys are injured. Yes, it's frustrating. I can understand the big picture. You think it's frustrating, and you often will wonder what would they be if they had remained healthy, but they're not. And I don't think there's any team in the NFL that's completely healthy right now. At this time of year, you got guys banged up all over the place. And this year especially, a lot of teams have lost a lot of big names. You roll with what you got. And I don't think injuries today was what kept the Patriots out of this game. I think they could have fixed a few things on the field and executed better and been in a position to win. I don't think it was injuries in this game that lost it for them. Jeff is in Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
What's happening?
Yeah, I really don't think you, as a Patriots fan, can complain too much about today's game. I mean, they had their chances and went down to the wire. Who didn't think that Brady wasn't going to pull it out at the end there?
Yeah, I can completely understand, and I know that Bill Belichick kind of brushed off a question about, you know, the last few weeks don't matter as it pertains to today's game. But watching it down at the end, you thought, okay, here we go, Brady's going to do it again. Didn't end up that way.
Yeah, I don't know if you could ask for too much more than what you got. I think what cost them were, one, that was a huge missed field goal by Gostkowski. If he just kicked it a little bit lower, I think he kicked it too hard, and then the 3rd and 2 inside the 10, why not just run it up the middle 2 times with Blunt? Why do they always have to, and then a doomed 3rd and 2 pass that had no chance, and you got to settle for the 3? Those 2 plays hurt a lot.
Yeah, I think the decision-making, Jeff, in terms of play calling, I haven't loved it this year when they've been in those 2nd and short, 3rd and short situations where you've got a couple of plays and you've got running backs, especially with a guy like Blunt, as you just said.
After Blunt, just like the Carolina game, I mean, that's 2 down territory. Is it now not 3rd and 1, 4th, 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2 from inside the 10? Just run it twice. Yeah, take your chances.
Keep the drive alive is what I'm going for there. I'd agree with you.
I hear you, man. Go Patriots. We'll take our chances at Baltimore next week.
All right, Jeff. Talk to you soon. Thanks for the call. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. That's 855-PATS-500. Patriots losing today as they fall by a final score of 24-20. Dolphins 8-6 on the year. 8-6 for the Dolphins. We didn't talk too much about the injured players today. Kyle Arrington left this game, and he was not playing well prior to leaving the game with some sort of ailment. He was out of the game, and according to tweets, Josh Boyce, who didn't finish the game, Mike Reese tweeting that he was limping out of the locker room, a very noticeable limp, as he left the Patriots locker room in Miami after this game. The last thing the Patriots need is another injury to a guy in their receiving core. Absolutely the last thing they can afford right now. And so we'll keep an eye on that one. Dobson out this week, Tompkins out this week, and now word that Josh Boyce is injured as well. They're losing bodies left and right. Left and right, trying to stay somewhat healthy going forward into these final 2 weeks of the season now. Let's get to some more emails coming in. Trey from Dallas writes in, I am hurt that we lost, but I still have a positive outlook on the rest of the season. And anything can happen in the playoffs. I think the game plan was good for the most part of this game. But again, it's 3rd and 2 inside the 15-yard line after some strong runs by Blunt. And he continues to go finesse in that situation, talking about Josh McDaniels and his play calling. Am I wrong for believing there should have been a run in that situation? And Trey, you're echoing what you just heard Jeff in Vegas say, which is in these situations, short yardage to get that first down, I think it's a very legitimate gripe to say you got to be running in that situation. Stop trying to pass the football there. You want to be running in that situation, and it just wasn't the case for the Patriots in this game today. 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500 is the phone number for you. Make sure you get on board. Give us your thoughts on what you saw today. Patriots, they go down in Miami. And again, this goes back. I mentioned the seven-minute drive to start that game, a solid drive. You get down, you get three instead of getting a touchdown. And this is the drive that now many of you are bringing up, which it's the same thing. It's the same thing in the red zone. It was a 2nd and 10, and that was an 8-yard gain for Blunt on 2nd down. Third and 2, incomplete to Vereen, and then on 4th down, you're kicking and you're settling for 3. So the pass to Vereen on third and 2 from the Miami 5-yard line, that's the play. First drive of the 4th quarter, you question that one too. You definitely do. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500. We're going to get to all your calls. Keep calling in. Keep loading up the lines. We'll keep talking Patriots with you. 855-PATS-500. What it means for them today. The loss. Does this shake things up in the AFC East at all? Not really in my mind. But what does it mean for the playoff picture with the Dolphins getting a win? What happened around the rest of the league? We'll take a look at that as well in the AFC. And also, we'll hear from Tom Brady and also some players inside the locker room. There's a lot of things coming up here on the postgame show presented by Xbox One. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more analysis and reaction from tonight's game.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt,
before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by Metabank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1/18/14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show presented by Xbox One, the official console of the NFL. 855-PATS-500, the phone number for you. We have an open line right now if you want to grab it, 855-PATS-500. Missed opportunities for the Patriots today in this game against the Dolphins. Let's get more of your thoughts on the phone lines. We go to Mike in Attleboro. Hey, Mike.
Beetle, how are you?
What's happening?
Just love losing a game due to a special teams player.
I know you love kickers, Mike.
Oh, my God. Okay, look, I can understand missing a 49-yard field goal. I mean, the ball wasn't precisely in the middle of the field. His Samba Classics might not have been laced tight enough. Maybe he didn't work the net on the sideline enough. But the margin of error for that and the margin of error for keeping it within the two sidelines on a kickoff is a little bit of a different story. How does this guy kick the ball out of this is your one job. Kick the ball in the field of play. Don't even forget about the touchback. Look, we're talking about a different game if it's 4th and 5 on the 25 and Miami has 3 timeouts. They're punting. They're not going for it on that 4th and 5 and making that prayer screen pass. That's not happening. Then you have the ball in Tom Brady's hands with Amendola and Edelman, who were absolutely on fire catching just about everything except in the end zone at the end of the game, and they can run out the clock. But no, instead, your stupid kicker shanks one out of bounds, Vanderkowski just coming through in the clutch, and they lose the game. I ban the kickers. Get rid of the whole position.
Get rid of kickers.
If they're not going to let them run the kickoff back, then get rid of the whole position.
Yep. I mean, the field is 53.5 yards wide, 160 feet wide, and he couldn't keep it within the field.
And they do position the ball precisely in the middle of the field on the kickoff.
Right in the middle.
You know, they don't have to have the fullback flop into the middle of the field to sort of set it up for him there. They sort of give him the prime starting position.
So you got 80 feet either way. Just keep it inbounds. Yeah. He couldn't do it today.
Yeah.
Huge part of it. You're absolutely right. If he doesn't kick it out of bounds, they're not going for it on fourth down.
Buy that kid a protractor. Keep it in the freaking field.
I love that. It's called the Samba Classics. Very nice, Mike. Thanks for the call.
Take care.
All right, bye. 855-PATS-500, the phone number. 855-PATS-500. Al's in New Jersey. What's up, Al?
Hey, Mark. How you doing? You know, it's always tough when the Pats lose. We're not used to it. You know, you said it earlier. The first quarter, the Patriots start off on their own 13. They go 16 plays, 83 yards, and they settle for 3. No Gronk, that's 4 points. Gostkowski misses a field goal. And also, in the first quarter, Miami had 36 total yards and had the ball for only 5 minutes, 8 seconds. They left Miami hang around. And right before the half, because the Patriots pretty much controlled the first half, they had a 10-point lead, and then Wallace's touchdown right before the half, to me, was one of the biggest plays.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. That touchdown by Wallace is a big factor in this game and a big factor in the Dolphins statistically being able to move the football. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, and one other point, you know, like I said, it's tough when the Pats lose. But, you know, we're going to have to get it together, and we have the Ravens, and a Raven win, we'll be right back where we're supposed to be. So, listen, thank you, Mark.
All right, thanks for the call. You know, I mentioned Kyle Arrington, Al, having not played well to start the game, and I've been kind of down on Kyle Arrington lately. But as Al just brought up, that touchdown for Mike Wallace late in that first half, that's because you've got Marquise Cole into the game. When Kyle Arrington went down and needed a little bit of medical assistance, needed to be looked at on the sideline, Cole's into the game. That's a weakness of the Patriots' defense. I think, you know, Arrington better than Cole, and the Dolphins picked on him. They picked on him with Mike Wallace, who's very good in his own right. And so then on that play, you've got Cole in coverage, and then on top of it, Steve Gregory, who didn't have a good game either. I think Steve Gregory is someone that you could have some complaints about after this game. And I know that on the email, someone has complained about that. JB in Virginia, he writes into webradio@patriots.com, Gregory was unblocked and had perfect position on the first TD, and he just stopped against possibly the fastest receiver in the league. He also completely blew the tackle on the last fourth down attempt by the Dolphins. If he makes the tackle, the game is over. JB in Virginia. Steve Gregory not having a great game today as well. Shannon is in Texas today. Hey, Shannon. Shannon, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Okay, I got two quick things. The offense and the defense. The offense did not play with any sense of urgency at all to claim a division a clinch spot. They did not have any urgency. I saw one urgency. It was like when Edelman was going down the field and made the touchdown. That's the only urgency in the whole game I thought that the Patriots did. The defense was totally, totally horrible. That was a horrible defense. No pass rush on Tannehill. I mean, Tannehill stayed in the pocket like forever and didn't do anything for the defense. And I want to put the whole team on your bad list. I mean, I'm talking about the coaches. Put the whole everybody on the bad list because it was just a horrible, horrible, horrible game. And there's a way to lose a game, you know, if it's close. But the way they were playing, it wasn't the Patriot way. And that's all I have to say.
Well, they sacked Tannehill 4 times. They hit him 5 times. So they did get to him a little bit today.
They did, but man, I mean. Tannehill stayed in the pocket like he was Brady.
Yeah,
and picked him apart. He actually picked him apart.
Well, I think that's a combination of things, Shannon. I don't think it's just the guys up front. You know, your guys up front are tied to the guys in the back end in the secondary. And I think both sides on the Patriots defense, I'd agree with you on this, Shannon, blame everybody. Blame them both. Sometimes the pass rush wasn't great, but most of the time, the guys in the secondary weren't really bringing it either today. So you want to blame both of them? Feel free. Put everyone on the bad list, Shannon, if that's what you want to do. Mike in California writes in webradio@patriots.com. Again, the email address. Gronk's absence was obvious at the end of the game, but I do like Austin Colley in this offense. He has solid hands and always seems to be there when we need him. Great point, Michael. In fact, I wanted to put him on the good list, and I forgot to do so. Austin Colley comes into the game, his first catch of the game on a third down play, gives the Patriots a first down. He's just a nice guy to have on your roster. He's a nice guy to have right now. A little bit of some veteran smarts out there, a guy who's got pretty decent hands and isn't afraid to go through traffic. As we know, he's had a number of concussions in his career. Not afraid to still get in there and make the tough grabs across the middle of the field. He is definitely one of the better, better pickups or, free agent waiver wire type guys. And I'm not talking about going out and signing big free agents, but he's a good find for this team. And he contributed today. Even in a loss, he definitely had some nice plays for the team. Back to Mike's point, though, about Gronk. I think it's definitely noticeable in the red zone, and I think that's one of the major themes coming out of this game today, is that without Rob Gronkowski, the Patriots 1-4 in the red zone, and they get within the 5-yard line a couple of times, and they can't figure out a way to get it in. They're stalling out after long, sustained drives. We're not talking about getting it down there and doing it on a big play to get down there. No, these are long, sustained drives the Patriots had to get within the 5-yard line, and then they couldn't figure out how to get it in. So that is definitely someplace where I say red zone, things get a lot more complicated when you don't have that big target that is so feared by defenses and is always getting a ton of attention down at the goal line. Now that you don't have him in there, things become a lot harder when the defense, no matter which defense it is, no matter how bad the defense is that you're facing, you give a defense a short field, especially we're talking 5 yards, things get a lot easier. They get a lot easier. And for the Patriots, things get a lot harder without Rob Gronkowski. Joe's in Pennsylvania. Hey, Joe.
How you doing?
Hey, Joe. What's happening?
Thank you for my call. My comment isn't about the game today. My comment is about the future. My biggest fear as a Patriot fan is now, if Cincinnati wins, we drop to the third seed, and I'm sure that you know this, that number 6 seed is Baltimore. We have a tendency of not competing or winning against Baltimore on a regular basis. And I really do think that if we match up with Baltimore, even in Foxborough, you know what happened last time we played. We didn't fare too well playing Baltimore, even with Ray Lewis and Ed Reed gone. We just, for some reason, it's very difficult for the Patriots to defeat the Ravens, if that does happen. I know that's a hypothetical. My second comment about the previous caller with Gostkowski, he did screw up today, but this year he has made some very clutch kicks. He did screw up today, but other weeks, if we didn't have him, we probably would have lost other games also.
Sure. I just think, Joe, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I just think today's misstep by Steven Gostkowski kicking it out of bounds, that's a complete no-no there. That's not, you want to say, hey, 48-yard field goal, you're going to miss some of those. Fine. And I'd agree with you. But to be kicking the ball out of bounds with, just a few minutes left in the game, you can't be doing it. There's no excuse for that. I don't care who you are. If you're a kicker in the NFL and you make that mistake in that spot, it's pretty much inexcusable, regardless of how good you are, regardless of how many times you've helped win your team a game this year. He just has no excuse for kicking that ball out of bounds at the end of the game. And I don't want to make it out to be him the reason the Patriots lost the game. But that's a big spot, and he didn't come through for his team, and he deserves to be, criticized for it, even though I don't think it's that much of a criticism to say you need to make that play there, and you just didn't make it. As I mentioned prior to the break, Dolphins now 8-6. And with a win for the Dolphins, 8-6, they have now inserted themselves right back into this playoff picture in the AFC. Right back into things. Here as we continue on in the final weeks of the season. Now, Baltimore doesn't play until Monday night. They play in Detroit against the Lions. So as it stands right this second, now granted, Baltimore hasn't played yet this week. As it stands right now, Dolphins are in the playoffs at this very second. Now, obviously, the season does not end midweek or mid-schedule. So the Baltimore Ravens can continue to win and continue to hold on to their spot. But if it ended today, prior to this game, you got Broncos in the one seed, Patriots in the two, and you've got Dolphins, Bengals, Chiefs, and Colts. The Dolphins needed this win. The Dolphins definitely need these wins. They've got three games in the final 3 weeks, all of them within the AFC East. So the Dolphins took advantage of a big spot and won their third in a row today, a game they absolutely needed. Now, does this mean the Dolphins are a threat to the Patriots? I don't think so. Even if the Patriots were to lose against Baltimore, do we really believe the Patriots are going to lose every game the rest of the way? I can't imagine that happening. Cannot imagine that being the case. Patriots, of course, now go to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. They then wrap up their season on December 29th here in Foxborough against the Bills. So I don't think things have been shaken up at all in the AFC East. I think even with the opportunity to clinch, slipping through the Patriots' grasp today in Miami, they were almost able to clinch the AFC East. I still don't think they're in danger of losing that AFC East. But the Dolphins really needed the win today. They need to continue winning to put themselves in a position to get a playoff spot. And as Joe in Pennsylvania said, you know, the Ravens scare him. Ravens next week in Baltimore and then potentially a matchup with the Ravens in the playoffs. Well, the Ravens still need to keep winning for them to get into the playoffs as well. Ravens at 7-6 on the year. Chargers at 7-7. And there's some teams here in the mix between Dolphins, Ravens, and Chargers. The Jets at 6-7, you could say mathematically they could be in, but they're not. I don't see that happening. Jets right now losing to Carolina 6-3. Some final scores from early on today in the NFL. Of course, we know about the game on Thursday night that we've already mentioned. Denver losing, but the Patriots can't capitalize on it in terms of holding on to the one seed. But here are the other scores from today. We'll start with the NFC. Atlanta getting a 27-26 win over the Washington Redskins with all the, I guess, scandal or controversy with Kirk Cousins being the starting quarterback over RG3 this week. Atlanta with a win, 27-26. The Bears, 38-31 winners over Cleveland. Philadelphia losing today. They lose to Minnesota 48-30. Who saw that one coming? Another score coming out of the NFC. The Giants shut out at home to Seattle, 23-0, the final. Seahawks with a big win. San Francisco beat up on Tampa Bay, 33-14. Some AFC scores. Indianapolis moving to 9-5 with their 25-3 win over the Houston Texans. The Buffalo Bills squeaked out a win, 27-20 over Jacksonville. And those are some of the AFC scores that happened in the 1 o'clock games. Right now, again, 4 o'clock games. The Jets trailing the Carolina Panthers 6-3. Kansas City with a 21-10 lead on Oakland. That in the second quarter. In the first quarter, Dallas with a 13-3 lead over Green Bay. St. Louis leading New Orleans 14-0 right now as they wind down quarter number one. 14-0 lead for St. Louis. And right now, Tennessee with a 10-7 lead on Arizona. They are early in the second quarter in that one. Sunday night football tonight, Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. And that has obviously some implications in the AFC playoff picture. Bengals right now at 9-4 on the year. But with a playoff spot that is pretty secure at this point. And then you've got Baltimore and Detroit. Again, the Monday night game, which we'll be keeping an eye on as the Patriots get ready to play Baltimore coming up next week. Let's go back to the emails, webradio@patriots.com. And again, that phone number for you, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 855-PATS-500. That's 855-728-7500, 855-PATS-500. The phones are open. and jump on board. We'll hear from Tom Brady coming up just a few short minutes from now, but 855-PATS-500, webradio at patriots.com, the email address here on the Patriots postgame show, presented by Xbox One, the official console of the NFL. Let's see this email right here. We'll read it from Robert. Robert in Oklahoma writes in, Mark, great show. Why do we insist on having a short, tiny, T-Rex-armed little receiver? Dobson being the only exception. Brady seems to put it on the money several times in the end zone, and our guys simply can't fight off the defenders. Don't get me wrong, I love their effort, but Brady has to put the ball right in the perfect spot or the receivers can't get to it. Also, I can't believe what bad hands Boyce and Dobson have. As far as the season goes, it's a lost cause for a Super Bowl win. That's not to say this team hasn't fought tooth and nail every game. We're playing with house money at this point. Too many injuries to overcome. We as fans can sit back and enjoy the rest of the games because we've got a special team that relentlessly fights to the end. Once in the playoffs, anything can happen. Excited for next year. I'm not writing this team off yet. I don't think the Patriots are playing with house money. I still think they're one of the best teams in the AFC. It comes down right now to me. The Patriots and the Broncos are still the two best teams in the AFC. And I still think they're going to be very much in the mix to get to the Super Bowl. And I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl. I like the teams in the NFC. I think the NFC is very strong. But I'm not writing off the Patriots. I'm not looking to next year. I'm not doing any of that. I think it's way too early for that to be the case. As far as the receivers go, I see your point. As far as size goes, the Patriots don't have a ton of size out there today with Amendola, Edelman, Josh Boyce. I get the point. You know, when you don't have Rob Gronkowski, it really changes things. Dobson and Tompkins are longer guys, but not, again, that big, imposing physical receiver. They don't really have that right now. They don't have that guy. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500. Go back to some of the emails. Nicholas writes in, what did you think about not going for it before the half? We had a timeout and just let the clock run off. If we can do it at the end of games, why not at the end of halves? The old Patriots offense would have gone for some points. It really irked me. Nick, I disagree on that. 32 seconds before the end of the half, and you want them to go for it there from what, their own 20? No thanks. I'm not going for anything there. 30 seconds, not enough time. You go for it at the end because you're in a position where you need to win. At halftime, I'm not risking turning the ball over there or having to then, you know, go three and out and then have to punt the ball away. You never know what the situation is there, and there's just not enough time to really put together a drive that's going to result in points. The chances of you completing a drive there are slim. They always are. And the chance of you turning it over before you go into the locker room at halftime, not worth it. Not worth a turnover, not worth having to try and punt and maybe having a punt blocked or anything like that. It's just not worth it. Not worth it at all. Not to mention you still had the lead at that point, 10-7, and you had started out the game 10-0. So I disagree with that. I would not have gone for it, and it definitely does not irk me that the Patriots made the decision not to go for it there. Robbie in Italy writes in, hey guys, it's a great show, really good. Enjoy listening to you. I'm very upset with the outcome today, although I know it was not going to be a walk in the park. What I can't cope with is why not be more aggressive in the first half? Why are they so relaxed? And why are they sitting back with their mindset? Shouldn't the coaching staff address these issues? Why not dare a little bit more? Especially because of the fact that until the offense needed time to adjust, no Gronk, no wide receivers, the defense would be on the field a lot of times and wear down. This is a setback. What do you guys think of our chances? Really great last drive. The magic didn't happen. Thanks again. Keep up the great work. Well, Robbie, as I said, I just finished saying their chances overall, I think, have gone down a little bit because when you lose a player that is as great as Rob Gronkowski, you can't just say things are going to be the same. They're not. Things become a lot harder for this team. But I still think they could be in the Super Bowl. I'm not saying they will. I'm saying they could. I'm not saying that can't happen. You look at the AFC field, I still think the Patriots can be competitive with everybody in the AFC. Now, losing today is a big part of what their playoff chances are because the chances get better based on seeding, gets better based on home or away. All those things come into play. If you come in as the second seed, you would play at home in every game except a game against Denver. That's how it would go. If you come in the first seed, we know what that means. You know, the Patriots with a bye and at least one home game, I like their chances to get to the Super Bowl. Again, I think their chances are right up there with the Broncos. So I'm not writing them off, even though they had some setbacks today. And as much as I'm down on the defense and the way they have played, the Patriots moved the football today, people. 364 yards for Tom Brady is no accident. Two players with more than 130 yards receiving in this game. Very productive today for the Patriots offense. Very productive. Were there mistakes made? Yes. Were there things we can look at and say they should have done better? Yes. Was the execution as good as it could be? It never is, no matter what team you are, even if you win. Execution can always be better. I think there's a lot of room for improvement on that front with the way this team played today. Not counting them out. Max writes in, I'm not sure you can ever pin the blame on one person for a loss. Gostkowski and the defense are the biggest culprits. Did you see Amendola being open on that last play right to the end zone? I didn't think he was open maybe to the degree you think he was. I'll have to go back and take a look. But I don't remember him being wide open on that play. I'll take a look, though. Maybe you're right. Jacob in California writes in, hey, Mark, obviously this was a very disappointing game for Patriots fans, and I've got a couple of quick points. Obviously a blown opportunity to take a step towards home field advantage, number one. Number two, looks like the Patriots got better of the Blunt-Demps trade-off. Blunt has impressed me all year. Number three, rough game for Gostkowski. Thankfully, this is not close to the norm for him. And number four, I think that the health of this team is the biggest concern. It's hard for the Patriots to move another game into the win column with KT, Dobson, and Gronk out. Thanks, Mark. Jacob in California. All good points. All very good points. I like that Blunt-Demps trade point. That was a good trade. LeGarrette Blount, listen, you may not like him. I know a lot of fans are down on Blount, or have been. I shouldn't say now, but maybe at the start of the year when it was in training camp and preseason and he's too big and he's not fast enough and they could do better than this. This isn't a major pickup. People were trying to downplay it a little bit. I think he's been just fine. I enjoy watching him play. And the trade of Demps for Blount has worked out. He has impressed me at times this year. So I think that's a very good point being made. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. Open lines for you right now. Webradio@patriots.com. That's the email address, so send your emails in, webradio@patriots.com. And again, that ace ticket hotline for you is 855-PATS-500. It's the Patriots postgame show. I'm Mark Bertrand, and it's presented by Xbox One, the official console of the NFL. We'll hear from Tom Brady coming up next.
The Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand.
Heavens to Betsy!
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play Online for just $79.99 a month, guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1-18-14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Welcome back to the Patriots Postgame Show with Mark Bertrand. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Welcome back to the Patriots Postgame Show presented by Xbox One. The Ace Ticket Hotline for you to jump on board is 855-PATS-500. That's the number, 855-PATS-500. Don't be afraid. Give us a call. Jump right on. Tell us what you're thinking. Tell us what you're feeling. about this Patriots loss today. 24-20 the final. Dolphins moved to 8-6 with the win over the Patriots. Very disappointing loss for the Patriots. A very frustrating loss. Because if you look at this game on the whole, you feel like the Patriots had much better opportunities and performed much more consistently, aside from failing in the red zone and being unable to put it in the end zone and score touchdowns. And I feel like the Patriots are still a better team than the Miami Dolphins. That's not even close to being a stretch. I know that to be true. Patriots, even with all of their injuries, a better team than the Dolphins. I feel like they lost to an inferior opponent today because the Patriots didn't execute as well as they could have. So it's understandable why a player would be frustrated. And from what I understand, Tom Brady was very frustrated and very brief in his post-game comments today after the loss in South Florida. Here he is.
How are we doing?
Good, Tom. Boy. I mean, we knew at some point, you know, these games would end the way they end. It was eventually going to bite you guys if you didn't take care of business early. Fair to say that's what happened today.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't do a good job getting in the red area. We didn't do a good job finishing drives. So, you know, turns out come up on the short end of the stick. So it just wasn't a good day. Just couldn't make enough plays when we had a chance to.
Can we talk about the final drive? You bringing the team down the field, and all of a sudden you're back in the game, you know, with a chance to win it. And you had three shots in the end zone, and you know, one obviously was a drop ball that the defensive back made a great play on, but you have those opportunities there.
Yeah, we got plenty of chances all day. So, we make some good plays and then we make plenty of plays. So,
well, all right then, Tom Brady. Tom Brady basically summing up, made a lot of bleep plays out there today. Tom Brady after the game, talking to reporters in South Florida. Let that one slip out there. Just a little bit. Clean it up, Tom. Clean it up, pal. 855-PATS-500, that's the phone number. Open lines, be our guest, please, at 855-PATS-500. Bruce is in New York today. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
What's going on, man?
Hey, first of all, congratulations on the new arrival.
Oh, thank you.
It's great, isn't it? The best thing that'll ever happen in your life.
It is terrific.
And I'm on a kind of hopeful note, even though this was a tough loss. I've been listening all week on the various shows on the website about all the doom and gloom since Gronk is gone and how we're basically, the Patriots are done, and it's time just to think about next year. But I just was doing a little recent NFL history, and I thought back to the last few Super Bowl winners. At this time last year, the Baltimore Ravens, that just got crushed by the Denver Broncos, when the middle of losing 4 out of 5, had fired their offensive coordinator, and you'd probably rate them about maybe the 7th or 8th best chance, and we know how that turned out.
Sure.
Year before it was New York Giants. They were 7-7 at this time. And barely, you know, they were 500, but we know how that turned out.
Fighting for a playoff spot, yes, I remember.
Right. And the year before, the Green Bay Packers, they this weekend, 3 years ago, they came up to Foxborough. Matt Flynn had a pretty good game, but they couldn't quite pull it off. And they went to 8-6, and they were pretty much done, pick a fork in them, and of course, we know how that turned out.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been listening all week to people who have very definitive opinions about what it'll take to win a Super Bowl, and actually, the truth is, you look around the league, every team is flawed. No team has Gronk, even us. And yet, somehow, this team does have Brady, does have Belichick, has a lot of heart, obviously. And I don't see why this team is any worse or has any less of a chance to win a Super Bowl, say, than the 2012 Ravens, the 2011 Giants, or the 2010 Packers. And the Saints, the team that won the year before, by the way, was in the middle of a 3-game losing streak. They'd gone off a 13-0 start, only to drop their final 3 of the season, and we know how that turned out. So, I just think there's a lot to be optimistic about it. You have a new baby. You know about hope and optimism. And it kind of made me cringe every time all week I heard that the Patriots are basically going to be one and done just because, of another injury.
I'm right there with you, Bruce. I've been saying that since last week. I know I haven't been here doing this show, but I tweeted out last week when the Patriots suffered the injury with Rob Gronkowski, resist the urge to write off this team. You need to resist that urge because I'm not writing them off, and I don't think anyone should be writing them off. If that's the way some people are thinking that they're a one-and-done team, I don't think that is the case. I think they could very well end up playing at MetLife Stadium in February for a Super Bowl. I think it's definitely still within the realm of possibility. I'm not ruling that out yet. I think their chances do go down a little bit. Your chances are better with Rob Gronkowski. I think that's obvious. But I don't think that means they now have zero chance to get to that point. And your points about some bad teams or teams that had bad stretches prior to the playoffs is definitely valid.
Yeah, that's the way you have to be now. If you're the number one seed, you might as well forget it. If whoever wins the number one seed, they should pack it in because number one seeds haven't fared too well at all.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bruce. I know why Patriots fans think this way, and it's easy to understand. When the Patriots won three Super Bowls, they did it with byes. They did it as one of the better teams in the AFC. So their blueprint had always been to be the best team in the regular season. And then you look at the two trips they made after winning three Super Bowls. They were also still one of the best teams in all of football. So the blueprint for the Patriots getting to the Super Bowl and having opportunities to win it have been by being one of the best teams in the NFL. So you can understand where that line of thinking comes from.
I do, but the blueprint in the early years, the three wins, was being under the radar. When we're ever over the radar, presumptive favorites, that's when we have the big disappointment. I mean, at this point, they may go one and done, but I'll be very happy with this season. It's been a thrill ride, a great mentally tough team, and who knows? I mean, that's the kind of teams that have won Super Bowls in recent years, these types of teams, teams with a lot of heart and some intangible and some, you know, some crazy luck. And, Patriots have always been on the wrong end, losing to the Ravens last year, losing to the Giants year before. Maybe this is the time, you know, we do it under the radar the way we used to back in the early part of the century.
Yep, and you know what? I would, Bruce, thanks for the call. Really appreciate
sure,
it.
Sure.
Take care. Bruce, I would disagree about being under the radar in Super Bowls 2 and 3. Number one, no doubt about it. That was under the radar, playing up that underdog card, all that stuff. They were the favorites come Super Bowls 38 and 39, but that has been their blueprint, be one of the best teams. So we've kind of become accustomed to seeing the Patriots be one of the best teams and find their way to get into the Super Bowl, having a great record in the regular season. So that's the way they've done it. So this would be different for them if they did get in by, and again, they're in line to still get a first-round playoff bye. But in terms of being a team that people have started to count out due to their injuries, this would be kind of a new situation. But Bruce mentioned, and some other callers have mentioned it as well today, this team does have tremendous fight. We've seen that in terms of the comebacks. We even saw it in a bid for a comeback today. There is no giving up in this team. And I think Bill Belichick and I think some of the players in the locker room have tried to make that clear with their comments this past week that no matter how many guys go down, you know, next guy up is going to have to do his best to try and fill that void. And as a team, they've got to do some things to maybe fill in and make up for the loss of some injured players. They've got to find new ways to get things done, which I have faith in. Again, you go back to the coach, you go back to the quarterback. I have faith in them finding ways to do that. Steve is in Oregon. Hey, Steve.
Hello.
Hey, Steve, what do you got?
Hey, I'm over here in Portland, Oregon, and I tell you, I wish I was in Boston. It should be a lot more home games, that's for sure. Love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
My question is, if the Bengals win tonight, which is pretty obvious I think they're going to, does that drop the Patriots down to the wild card?
Let me think. Yeah, because head-to-head, Patriots lost to the Bengals.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
That's a good point.
By the way, yeah, and I agree with everything you're saying. I think that I like kind of how we're flying under the radar a little bit. Nobody can really prepare. I mean, they did take Perrine out of the game today, but, it's really hard to prepare for what you're going to see out of the Patriots. And when teams look at the tapes, you know, Gronk was an easy one, you know, and so is Perrine. But right now, the Patriots can literally go into just about any game, and teams don't know how to prepare for them. But so I think we have a lot of heart. I think Super Bowl is not that far off for us. Today was a bad day, but you know something, that just makes us under the radar that much more, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean maybe it does, and maybe that's a part of what Bruce was talking about, Steve, in that you lose this game, you maybe have a little bit of a bad stretch because you lost this game. Maybe you do go under the radar. Maybe people start writing off the Patriots. I hope that Patriots fans don't write off this team because they should know better. But maybe some people nationally start to think that way, or the rest of the NFL starts to think that way. I think it's a possibility, but I got to be honest, I doubt it happens. I doubt that other NFL teams and other NFL coaches are going to look at this team all that differently now.
Right. Well, you know, we got a great team, and, true Pats fans like us, even though I'm on the West Coast, yeah, there's no way we're going to write off our Pats. They're great.
All right, Steve, thanks for the call.
Hey, thanks for your show.
All right, take care. Steve in Oregon, thanks for your call. Let's go to a Matthew, also out west. He's in Colorado. Hey, Matthew.
Hello?
Matthew, how's it going?
Hey, it's going, man. It's a bad week. It's going to be a long week, that's for sure.
Yeah, what'd you think about the game today?
You know, honestly, I think, you know, with our injuries and stuff, you know, we're very inconsistent, but I have to say some guys stepped up, you know, that, like, Amendola had a 100-yard game that he probably hasn't had in a few weeks, you know. Some other guys stepped up, so it did look good. I just, you know, we let one get away from us. And so, I mean, I just wanted to call and talk about the playoff implications.
What's that? You're talking about the playoff implications, and how do you think it affects them, playoff-wise?
Well, definitely, I really do, because, you know, I'm out here in Colorado, and I know,
yes,
you know, my Facebook page is blown up because all Denver fans are happy right now. And I know how loud that stadium can get. And, you know, honestly, I would be a little worried about New England having to come down.
Well, if that happens, if New England is going to Denver, we're assuming that's going to be a AFC title game type of situation. Matthew, thank you for that call. One, cross that bridge when you get there. Two, just to talk about it, I know it can be loud. I know it's a tough place to play. I don't think the Patriots, with this team, what they have right now, would be unable to win a game in Denver. Now, if the Denver Broncos play their best game, the Patriots will lose. But I think that's a much more important factor than where the game is going to be. I don't think the home road in that one is a major, major problem. I that's why, you know, first seed versus second seed, and I know a lot of people are looking at that after this loss today and Broncos fans being happy. Yeah, it definitely has an impact. You always favor the home team, even when you got two good teams. Home team, there's advantages to playing at home. But I have faith in the Patriots to be able to win a road game, even though they do have a losing record on the road now. All of their losses coming on the road. That one does not all of a sudden mean, oh, they can't win it. I mean, yeah, it'd be nice to have the home game, but if you don't, it doesn't mean you can't win that game. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I would prefer they play at home, but if they don't have it, again, I'm not going to write them off. Won't go there. Pritchard writes in, I chalk this up to be a good loss, like week 15 last year to the Niners. We'll motivate all facets of the team to play better. Patriots outscored opponents 56-16 the last 2 weeks of 2012. Jacksonville and Miami. That Denver loss is turning out to be a huge relief instead of an opportunity. They'll get the second seed and some team like KC at home. I would disagree. I don't think this is a good loss. I mean, it's a loss that it's not a loss that's crushing or is really going to have a major significant impact on making the playoffs or not making the playoffs or anything like that. But I'm sorry, the Niners last year were a team that ended up in the Super Bowl, and I think we all recognized as one of the best teams in the league. The Dolphins are not that. Sorry. Not the same thing in my book. Not the same thing. Now, will it motivate the team? Maybe a little bit. And again, Jacksonville and Miami outscored them the end of last season. Those two teams were bad last season. They were really bad. They're not playoff teams at the end of 2012. The Patriots will have that chance against Buffalo. But next week against Baltimore, that's a team fighting for playoff positioning. I don't think you're going to get that same type of thing this year. So I would disagree about what that's going to end up meaning for the team. 855-PATS-500 is that phone number. 855-PATS-500. I don't think it's a good loss. I wouldn't put it in that same category. Mike writes in, Mike from Rhode Island, I think we can replace Gronk's production with moving down the field, but when it comes to the red zone, we're definitely struggling without him. Mike, I don't know if you were listening earlier, but I absolutely agree with you. You look at the drives in which the Patriots got within that 5-yard line, sustained drives, lengthy, sustained drives of 7 minutes or more, moving the ball methodically down the field. You get into the red zone, you shorten up the field for the defense, and all of a sudden, Patriots offense stalling out in the red zone. And you look at a game like last week, a couple of weeks ago, you've got Gronkowski just commanding ridiculous coverage in the red zone, as he does every single game. That would have definitely helped today. Maybe you're not looking at kicking field goals, you're looking at touchdowns. I'll tell you, the loss of Rob Gronkowski was felt today. It was felt today in this game, and it was a factor in why the Patriots were unable to win this game. That's definitely on the list. If they missed the guy today. I didn't think it would happen so soon. I really didn't. Let's see. Rodrigo writes in, hello, I'm a big Patriots fan. And all season, there have been too many bad play calls. In the second game, they're running well. Then in the end zone, they just forget the run. Last field goal drive was one of these moments. And as you just said, Blunt was running great. Why did they stop running? My God. Well, now if we lose to the Ravens next week, the season is over. Other quick points. Why is Daron Harmon not playing? He was doing a good job. Aaron Dobson over... I'm talking about some draft stuff here that I'm not going to get into. But play calling, definitely an issue today. Short yardage situations in the red zone, choosing to pass on a third and two instead of run. When LeGarrette Blount was running well, I think the gripes with the play calling are legit. You can make a legitimate second guess there. If you run there and you pick up a first down, maybe it's something different. No way to know for sure. 855-PATS-500, the phone number for you. 855-PATS-500. Chris is in Fitchburg. He's up next. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, how you doing? How you guys doing there?
What's happening?
Not much. I just wanted to call in a comment of the game today. You know, I think what you see is what you get today. I mean, we're passing the ball down the field, I think, as well as we can. I think our running game is going to be the key to whether or not we make it into the Super Bowl. You know, our passing game, I mean, Brady threw for 361 yards, I think.
Yeah,
you know, we failed to get it into the in the end zone, you know, but, you know, he just doesn't have the receivers necessary to you know, make the kind of plays that he's been able to make in the past. I think our running game is going to be key, and I was wondering what you guys thought about that.
Well, I think it's going to be a factor, but I think with this team, more and more, it's a pass-first type of team. I think they've been that way for a while. The running game can help. And we haven't talked too much about this, but what did you think of the 8 carries for Stephen Ridley today? Would you like to see him carry the ball more? Do you think that's just about right? What do you expect Stephen Ridley to get going forward? If the running game is a big factor, what are we expecting from Stephen Ridley going forward on this team? And if the running game is going to be important, should, you know, 22 carries versus 55 passing attempts, do you want to see some more balance there for the Patriots? Because I thought they could have run the ball more in this game today. I thought they could have, and they didn't. Said that right off the top. I would have liked to have seen them run the ball a little bit more. Just on the whole, though, in terms of play calling, we can second-guess some of the short yardage plays that were in the red zone. I'll tell you what, though, in the passing game, Patriots were pretty sharp. Tom Brady, obviously, a big part of that, but being able to create some space for guys, and now the Dolphins assisted in this as well because they are very much hurt in their secondary. They're playing with all backups. And when the Patriots had a little bit of time, and Tom Brady had a little bit of time because guys were dropping back into coverage and not pressuring him because the offensive line didn't play great today. We haven't talked too much about that, but they were not good again today. When he had time to throw, there was tons of open space. In terms of the Patriots scheming offensively, they've created open space for the guys that they still have on this roster, including Edelman, including Amendola. They had some space. And they were able to do things. So, you know, I guess put all those guys into, put that stuff into the good category. You can second guess the red zone calls, but offensively, you know, Tom Brady said we had some good plays. We had some bleep plays. They had a lot more good ones than bad ones today. I will say that about them. They definitely had a lot more good ones than bad ones.
You know, we make some good plays, and we'll make plenty of plays. So.
Tom Brady with the salty language. Salty, salty language. Salty language. One thing we had not spent any time on, and I still have things I have not gotten to yet, Dane Fletcher, pass interference call. Third quarter, third down play. You hate to see that one. And I think on TV or on replay, it looked like it was worse. It looked worse than I think it really was. But it's still a play that I don't think his interference was a huge impact on whether or not the ball was going to be caught. Bad penalty there. Bad penalty there for Dane Fletcher. And the Patriots today did a good job of not being penalized in this game. And that one was a bad one. A one penalty all day long, and that was the penalty. One penalty in this game for the Patriots, and it was on Dane Fletcher. I'd say the refs, pretty much for the most part, kept the flags in the pockets today during this game. Really kept it in the pocket, didn't break them out. Patriots secondary had issues today. Mike Wallace, 6 catches, 105 yards, 6 catches on 9 targets. Ryan Tannehill did a nice job of spreading the ball around. Brian Hartline, 5 catches, 70 yards. Matthews with 5 catches for 64 yards on the day. Michael Agnew, 2 catches, 25. You also had Marcus Thigpen with a pair of catches, 23 yards. We mentioned the one earlier from Charles Clay, a big fourth down play for him. But there were a total of, as I just look quickly over the stat sheet, 10 different players with catches for the Dolphins today in the game. Patriots, on the other hand, had 7, so they had plenty of their own as well. But 10 different people catching footballs for Miami today. Mike Wallace leading the charge with 6 for 105, and he also had that touchdown that Marquise Cole and Steve Gregory got beat on today. That's going to be a play you look at in this game and say, execution. Defensively, execution. Kyle Arrington going down and Marquise Cole coming into the game. And Marquise Cole was not as good as Kyle Arrington. 39-yard touchdown for Mike Wallace there. We mentioned the Dane Fletcher pass interference. Some of the good things defensively, Chandler Jones, I thought, reemerged this week. I thought Chandler Jones was very active and was very much a part of what has been going on. And against Brian McKinney, I thought he did a good job today. I thought he got back into the mix, and he made you notice him on the field today. Dante Hightower finishes with 9 tackles on the day, but what you're going to remember him for is coming up short on the final touchdown of the day for Miami. Even in allowing that catch to be made, Dante Hightower then missed the tackle and couldn't bring him down. And I thought, well, could you at least get the tackle if you're going to let the guy catch the ball? And Paul Perillo quickly pointed out to me, why even bother? Don't have him tackle the guy there. Let him score and get the ball back, which ultimately made sense and ultimately helped the Patriots in their comeback bid, even though they came up short. So it was probably a better thing that Dante Hightower didn't end up making that tackle. But Dante Hightower, he looked a little bit better today than how he's looked, which he's got all the room in the world to get better. Plenty of room for improvement when it comes to Dante Hightower today. Keith Tlaib, I thought, played a good game today. Keep Tlaib looked like he was running around pretty well. Looked like the hip wasn't a major factor for him today. I think Keep Tlaib took a big step forward today. I think Keep Tlaib was something I put on the good list for the Patriots defense. 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number for you. 855-PATS-500. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline, and we have wide open phone lines for you right now as we approach the 6 o'clock hour here on the show. 855-PATS-500. Send in your emails, webradio@patriots.com. Send me a tweet, @Mark_Bertrand. Do whatever you want to do. Get in touch with the show. It's the Patriots postgame show, presented by Xbox One, the official console of the NFL.
More Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand after this quick timeout.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play Online for just $79.99 a month, guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by Metabank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1-18-14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
651, excuse me, I almost did it again, Feldman. 855-PATS-500. I want to throw out a 617 number at you, but I won't. 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline for you on the Patriots postgame show. I'm Mark Bertrand. It's presented by Xbox One, the official console of the NFL. Follow me on Twitter, @Mark_Bertrand, and give me your thoughts on this game. Janelle tweets in that she feels more comfortable when the Patriots are down at the half when they are up, based on all of the recent comebacks. If you want to send a tweet, you can do so at @Mark_Bertrand. 855-PATS-500 and the email webradio@patriots.com. Hayden writes in, this year's Patriots squad is very frustrating to me. It bothers me that the defense is taking the blame. Two times today, two times, all caps there from Hayden. Two times today, the Patriots were unable to get it in the end zone from the red area. Who gets the blame? Brady, no Gronk, Amendola, or Edelman. No, Josh McDaniels is an awful play caller in the red zone. He is far too conservative, and I think what is holding the offense back. Run Ridley more, not 34 quick screens. That's from Hayden. Well, let me ask you this to everybody. If you're putting the blame on one side of the ball today, you have to pick one side or the other. Who's the bigger side of the football to blame? The offense or the defense? If I'm picking one, I'm picking the offense. I'm picking the offense. I'm not putting it on the defense. They gave up 24 points on the road. Not terrible. Patriots put up 20, having four trips to the red zone and only capitalizing on one of those four trips. A couple of times you get the ball down at the inside the five, and you can't get it in the end zone. That's on the offense. Missed field goal, that happens. No one to really blame there. I'm not going to blame Steven Guskowski for missing a field goal from 48. Kicking it out of bounds? Yeah, that's on him. But missing a field goal? Not a big deal. But four trips to the red zone and you're coming away with field goals? No, not acceptable. Score. Score when you get down there and you're that close. So if I'm picking one side of the ball, it's the offense. You tell me, if you're picking one side of the ball, which side are you blaming? 855-PATS-500 is the phone number, 855-PATS-500. JB in Virginia writes, in response to big receivers, and that being a email that we received earlier, JB asks the question, how many big receivers do the Patriots have in their Super Bowl victories? None. It's not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog. That's from JB. JB, they had some decent-sized receivers. They didn't have the big physical imposing receiver. But Deion Branch, he was big enough. I mean, no, not a huge guy, not that big threat. David Givens could be physical when he needed to be. He could fight for the football. David Givens, big muscular dude. So, yeah, I can see your point. Troy Brown, he's on the smaller side for sure. I get what you're saying, but in the NFL, we're now, and let's be honest here, that's, you're going on what? 13 years ago now? 13 years? 12 years since the Patriots? Yeah, 12 years ago. Patriots in that first Super Bowl. The league has changed in 12 years. It's much more pass happy in the NFL. But I'm not using the excuse of the receivers. The problem is, out of all the receivers, you need one guy who's going to be a red zone target. Do they have that guy right now? It doesn't look like they do. It does not look like they do. Let's see what comes up here. Get more of your emails coming in. As more emails coming in, webradio@patriots.com. Garland writes in, so I was not too disappointed with the defense. Only 24 points allowed. The offense let us down this time. Right on, Garland. I'm with you. I'm with you on that. 855-PATS-500. Open lines for you right now. 855-PATS-500. We got about 15 minutes to go on the show, so get your final thoughts in before we wrap things up. Let's go to Praveen. I hope I'm saying that right, in New York. Hi, Praveen.
Hey, hi, thank you. Thanks for picking my phone. I want to give you a strange observation that I have seen.
All right, let's hear it.
Correct. I know, without Gronk, he has a chance, but let's talk the other side of the ball. If you see in the last 2-3 years, like since 2010, 11, 12, since we have Gronk, okay? So... We have never had a game. I remember only one game where the offense has scored less than 20 points or around 20 points and we have won the game, which is the Jets game this year, which was 13-10 with Will Fork Mayo, Tlaib, and Dennard, everybody healthy. That was the only time that we have ever won a game where the offense has scored around 20 points or less than 20. I do not remember any game, okay? You know, there is some truth to defense wins championships. That is definitely one of the reasons which I think our defense really needs to step up. At least two or three games in the whole season where we can win less than 20. And the real reason why our defense hasn't been that great, I have to give a little bit of blame to Bill Belichick when it comes to 2009, 10, 8, 11 drafts, where we had drafted like 7 or 8 DBs. Most of them were busts. And probably that's the reason, you know, it's keeping us away from that Super Bowl championship. That's what I want to say.
So, Praveen, if you're putting this on one side of the ball today, you're pretty much picking the defense, not being strong enough.
Correct. Because, you know, as I said, can you show me another game where we have won scoring less than 20 points in the last 3 years or around 20 points? Just one game. You tell me. 2010, 11, 12, 13. Show me one game where the offense has scored around 20 points and we have won. Or less than like 18, 19. It's Super Bowl. We couldn't. You know, that cannot be the whole. But at least two games a season. I think that's what championship teams are about. You know, some games you have to win with 20 points. The only game I remember in the last three seasons is 13-10 this year, Jets. You tell me another game that we have won scoring less than 20.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back, and we can certainly take a look for you.
There is none.
I'll take a look and see what we come up with, but I understand your point, which is sometimes you've got to be able to win a game when you can only put 20 points on the board.
You know, it's strange. The reason is, if there were like even two games in the last three or four seasons, I'm following the Patriots since 2010. I'm an Asian American, it was strange. I came to this country. I became a fan of the Patriots, you know, just watching NFL. And then I live in New York City and I'm a Patriots fan. And people even ask me, hey, you know what? You're a Patriots fan. How could you be a Patriots fan? I said, you know what? I came to this country. I never knew there was a rivalry between New York and Boston. I just started watching NFL. I like the way the Patriots play, and I'm a Patriots fan. But, you know, in the last three or four seasons, not winning even a thing. Only one game I remember where we scored less than 20 and we won, which was this year.
Well, if you're going to go with 20 or less, I found the last time that it would be. The last time they scored 20 or less and won the game was October of 2011. They had a 20-16 win over the Cowboys.
Right, got it. So you see, 2011. I expect at least two games a season, like, and including the playoffs. I want the defense to step it up. You know, Ryan Tannehill is not an elite quarterback.
And I just went back and looked at 2010. You mentioned, you know, you became a fan right around 2010.
Right.
There you go. There's one game, just at quick glance, there's one game in the last 4 years that the Patriots have scored 20 or less and won, and that was the game against the Cowboys that they did in 2011. October 16th of 11, they won 20-16. So your point is actually a very, very good point. They have not been able to win those close games.
Yep.
The defense is not what maybe it could be, and you raise a lot of good points.
Yeah, and it's because of the DBs. You know, we have drafted. Look, I'm a big fan of Bill Belichick. That's why I'm a Patriots fan, the way they play. But I think the GM part of that thing, I don't think we have done it really well. I think 8 or 9 DBs were drafted. I think only Devin McCourty is there out of that. I don't know. You know, that seems to be, you know. I really feel bad with Gronk going out. But you know what? Maybe sometimes two games a season, I'm expecting, you know, the defense should win it sometimes.
Yeah, Praveen, I'm with you, man. I hear what you're saying. And don't be a stranger. Give us a call next time, too.
No problem. Thank you so much for picking my phone.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number. JD is in Georgia. JD is up next, and I think he has maybe a similar point to what Praveen was just saying. Hey, JD.
Yes. Today I'm going to have to put the blame on the offense. but the defense has got to have a feel for the magnitude of the game at some point. I feel like when the game gets big, and I saw this last year in the AFC Championship against Baltimore, when it's a big moment, the defense just, like, they fall apart and they just can't make the stop. And I mean, they just don't have a guy. I think losing Mayo was huge because he was leadership, and I think they lack that right now, and that's going to hurt him in the long run.
Yeah, I think they also feel his loss of his play and his presence in the middle of that defense. I think the same can be said for Vince Wilfork. Dante Hightower is not really getting the job done. So there's no doubt that they miss Jerod Mayo. There's no doubt that they miss Vince Wilfork, and the defense has suffered some pretty significant injuries. And as I've said for weeks now, their best days of 2013 are behind them once they lost those guys. But in terms of the defensive backs, which you mentioned, Aqib Talib, I thought, went in the right direction today. I thought he looked better. I think Devin McCourty has had a very consistent year. I thought he's looked good. The problems, again, Kyle Arrington. And then when Kyle Arrington goes down, Marquise Cole and Steve Gregory at the other safety position opposite of McCourty. Those are the guys you'll look at and you say, they're not up to snuff here. They're not playing as well as they could be, or playing to a level that you're going to need them to play in order to be successful here in the final weeks of the season and then on into the playoffs. I think all of those are fair points. I think they're more than fair points if you're looking at this team. But again, that question, if you're blaming one side of the ball today in this game, Patriots, Dolphins, which side is it for you? And I'm taking the offense. I am taking the offense, and I know there are many complaints to be had about the defense too, but they let up 24 points on the road, and as you heard Praveen say, well, how many times do the Patriots, when they score 20, are they in a position where they can win a game? I mean, it's not often. So even with them, I mean, this is what it comes back to. Is the offense on this team never allowed to make mistakes? Do they just always have to execute at the highest level and score as many points? Will there ever be a game in which the offense doesn't play their best game and the defense bails them out? Have we seen that game? Are we going to see that game? I don't think we will, which is why we then turn around and pick on the offense, which is what I've done. I'm guilty of it too. Very much guilty of it. Like I'm doing, putting that blame on that side of the ball, that one side of the ball. 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. Open lines for you if you want to jump on board. The Patriots.com postgame show presented by Xbox One. That's the official console of the NFL. 855-PATS-500. Keep sending your emails in as well. Webradio@Patriots.com. We get an email all the way from Ghana today. Evans in Ghana writes in, the blame should be placed on the defense. The team should be able to win when they score less than 20. The offense will be off at times, but champions are made from getting a second chance when you get a blip. The defense should get stops when needed in the fourth quarter and force possible touchdowns and turn those TDs into what would be field goals. Evans, in a lot of situations I would agree, and this goes to our previous emailers and callers as well about the defense. You can't just look at the score in a vacuum. You've got to look at the fact that the Patriots were down near the goal line and failed to get it in the end zone, and we're kicking field goals instead of scoring touchdowns. You've got to take into account that the Dolphins' defense in the secondary is weak, very weak right now. You've got to take all of these things into account. So it's not just a matter of, well, the Patriots put up 20, so that's good enough. Sometimes the offense needs to take advantage of a bad situation. That's what I feel. And if you look at Ryan Tannehill, I know, the Dolphins have been playing well as of late, but Ryan Tannehill picking apart the Patriots? You got to have some sort of standards for the defense. I mean, can the defense let up 24 points to any team in the NFL and we're going to consider that good just because it was 24 on the road? I'm willing to give them a pass because, listen, it's not like something they do every week, but I don't know. Don't look at it in a vacuum. Look at this game. The offense could have done a lot more. They could have done a lot more to be in a better position to win the game, and they didn't. The defense, you can say they could have made some more plays, no doubt about it. But in terms of missed opportunities, the Patriots' offense missed a lot more opportunities today than the defense did. And they made mistakes, including that fourth down conversion for the Dolphins. You throw that into there. You can look at a lot of different plays. The Dane Fletcher pass interference call, the one penalty of the day, came at a very bad time. Kicking the ball out of bounds and giving the Dolphins a short field starting at the 40-yard line. All that stuff comes into play. I get it. But if we're looking at who lost more opportunities today, I'm going with the Patriots offense. 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number here, 855-PATS-500. You want to send a tweet, you can do that at Mark_Bertrand. Again, wide open lines for you on the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PATS-500. WebRadio@Patriots.com is the email address. Patriots will now get ready for a game against Baltimore. This game, originally a Sunday nighter, now flexed to what will be a late Sunday afternoon game with that 4:25 start. Patriots will spend their week getting ready to take on the Baltimore Ravens, who are very much fighting for their playoff spot, fighting to be a part of the picture, coming off their Super Bowl win last year. The Baltimore Ravens in a position where they come to Foxborough, a place that they've won before. Joe Flacco, I don't think, is afraid of playing in Foxborough, especially at this time of year. So there's no intimidation factor for the Patriots getting a home game here against Baltimore. This is going to, excuse me, what am I talking about? The game's in Baltimore. Why did I just think that? I just had total lapse in thought. You know what it is, Feldman? Lack of sleep. If you're going to have a kid, Feldman, be prepared for the lack of sleep.
Yeah, I hear that. All right.
At least it only took me about 20 seconds to realize my mistake. Yeah, now I have to go back to what I was saying, which was the Ravens at this time of year, still, the same thing applies. They're not afraid of playing the Patriots late in the season. They're in a position where they are in the Monday night game against Detroit, so it's a little bit of a short week for them on the road against Detroit, returning home for the 4:25 kickoff against the Patriots. And the Ravens right now are playing well, having won four of their last five games. They've won four or five. They got a pretty good matchup. That might be a pretty good Monday night game, actually, between Detroit and Baltimore. In terms of what they've done offensively this year, Baltimore has been down, bottom third of the league in passing, bottom third of the league in rushing. In terms of their defense, it's been top half of the league. And they've been top 10 in terms of stopping the run. So some things to just keep in mind as we get ready to move on to week 16 for the Patriots. Patriots with a loss in week number 15, and now it's another road game. Tough back-to-back stretch here. If you had asked me which game the Patriots would have a tougher game in prior to today, I mentioned this on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. If you thought the Patriots were going to lose today going into this one, you got to think they're going to lose next week. That's just by the process of figuring out which game is harder. I think the road only gets tougher for the Patriots. Doesn't mean I would still pick them to win this game. I think they're a better team than Baltimore, even with their injuries. So I'm still picking them to win this one, but it's a tougher game. So they lost this one. If they fail to execute on red zone plays, red area plays, they make the same mistakes on defense, they'll lose again. They will. So, with that being said, Patriots now turn their attention to the Baltimore Ravens. Let's go quick to the phones here before we wrap things up and talk to Adam. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Adam, what do you got?
Nothing, just a couple of final thoughts. Like, I do agree. I put this on the offense. You know, they being in the red zone, that basically means you have the opportunity. You're in striking distance. And, you know, the missed field goal did cost them, but that very first drive, to me, you only come up with three. You drove it right down the field, down their throat, had a really good-looking drive. You ate up a ton of clock, too, and to only come away with 3 points, I think, killed them. And going back to your thought, what you just said, you know, to be honest with you, to put a percentage on it, I don't know, but I really went into this game. You know, I was still upset they lost the game. I thought they were going to have a hard time winning this game with it. They're only having a week to practice. Yeah, early in the season, they were without Gronk. But, you know, being the first game again without Gronk, I really, that was just part of it. That's not the whole thing. But, you know, I really thought that they were going to have a hard time winning this game. And Baltimore is going to be a difficult game for them, too. I think they always give a problem. But I'm hoping that, you know, maybe the second week without Gronk, they can put some things together. You know, another point, just the O-line continues to struggle. And for me, that's, you know, as the O-line goes, the team goes, and you know, the defense did struggle, and they had some tough tough plays there. I mean, to give up the long, give up a long play on third down right before that fourth down play, I think, was pretty big too. I think if they can stop them there and make it like a fourth and 10 instead of a fourth and 5, maybe you come up with a play. But like I said, I know that's a lot of thought. But, you know, it's going to be a tough road ahead for them, man. I think, you know, just going all the way down and into the playoffs, it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult road at this time of year if you have aspirations of going deep into the playoffs. And, Adam, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. It doesn't get any easier now. You've got a tough game on the road against Baltimore. You do wrap it up with a bit of a cupcake here in the division at the end of the year, but then you're getting ready for potentially a bye week, we hope, and then getting ready for playoff competition. So things are really picking up here. Patriots have some things to fix on both sides of the ball. We'll learn more about whether or not they're moving to fix those things and moving in the right direction and moving on without Gronk next week as they take on the Baltimore Ravens, a 4:25 kickoff in Baltimore, and we'll have you covered here with the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social 2 hours and 15 minutes prior to kickoff right here on Patriots.com. And, of course, all week long, make sure you check in with PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch and Paul Perillo and Andy Hart and Eric Scalavino. Of course, make sure you check out Patriots.com for all of the latest with the New England Patriots and what's happening with this team. It's on to Baltimore. It's on to Week 16. Today, Patriots fall 24-20, the final against the Miami Dolphins. Thanks to our producer, Mark Feldman, today doing a fine job filling in for Mr. Kevin Collins, who was unable to be with us today due to some other engagements. Of course, thanks to Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Darren Hartwell for all of their pregame coverage here on Patriots.com. Again, your final score, Dolphins 24, Patriots 20. Pats now 10-4 on the season. I'll talk to you next week for Baltimore.
This has been the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand on Patriots.com Radio.